Why do some struggle with suicide? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Becky Adams, who was on our previous show, who wanted to commit suicide after many bad events happened in her life.
I think that it comes to a place in a lot of people's life where they feel like there's no way out and there's no hope. And what's the purpose? Some people are even being tormented in their minds. There are thoughts that they've never had and it scares them. And there are thoughts out there that come to people that even say, you know what, you'd be better off not here. You might as well just, you can't deal with this. There's these thoughts that come to people, and I know because I've had those thoughts.
Right.
And a lot of people who go through those feelings and thoughts don't tell anybody else because they're afraid of what people will say about them, what people will think, or if they'll end up in a mental hospital.
Yeah, you know, it's like a silent killer. Mm-hmm. And those voices are not just internal thoughts. You know, I believe there are spiritual entities, demonic entities that want to disguise themselves as our voice and whisper these things and really make us, you know, to try to self-terminate and to commit suicide. But when you really think about it, suicide, is it an okay thing? You know, a lot of people, they wonder, is that an okay thing in the eyes of God? Or would it be okay with God if, you know, he would understand? But interesting, in Job chapter 14, verses 5, it says, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." What's interesting about that is that God has appointed a limit to our lives, but we can terminate like almost beforehand. We have a free will. We can do it ourselves, but that is not God's best. And if God has given us a limit of a time, we should fulfill that because we want to fulfill what God has for our lives. And I think that when, you know, people are like, well, I just want out, we don't realize that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. You can't terminate. You are much needed. All these lies that, you know, you might be hearing, if someone who's listening is thinking those thoughts, you have to realize those are lies. They are not the truth. The truth is you are needed. You are important. There's something about your life. There's something that only you can fulfill and only you can do.
And there are people who love you and need you. What I've learned is to get my eyes off me and start getting it on others. So I would say to myself, this too shall pass. This is just a season. And it talks about it in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And we may go through hard times and it may feel like it's never going to end, but I can guarantee you after I've been through 7 bouts of severe depression, you will overcome. So don't give up, turn to the Lord, get help, and know that you are loved and you have a purpose in this life. Let's hear from Becky after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by FA79 and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. FA79 serves delicious Vietnamese pho noodle soup, along with many other authentic Vietnamese selections. They've received Denver Magazine's Top of the Town Award and were voted Best Vietnamese Restaurant by the Denver Dining Guide. Make plans now to dine at FA79, located at 781 South Federal Boulevard in Denver, or call them at 303-922-2930. That's 303-922-2930.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th Hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th Hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Becky Adams, and she shared with us on the previous show how she grew up in a very legalistic church and was never able to really share with anyone her hidden struggles.
Yeah, you know, she kind of had this Brady Bunch family where everything was so perfect, But then it seemed like everyone was hiding all their struggles. She didn't know who to turn to when she struggled.
Mm-hmm. And she never felt good enough. It was always hard for her. And it wasn't like she was very close to her dad. And she kept trying to become good enough to get that acceptance. At 12 years old, she was very much traumatized by being raped. She was actually being groomed by an older guy and was raped when she was 12 years old.
Gosh.
And instead of anything being done, you know, them going to the cops, they put it under the rug. So that caused a lot of heartache, shame, and pain for her. And as she got older, it just kept going from bad to worse. She married an abusive man. The second man was a cheater. The same with the other one who left her. It just was never getting better. And she felt like, God, you know, I don't know if he even hears me or if he even loves me or if he's mad at me. So let's hear from Becky now and how things dramatically changed for her. Welcome back to the show, Becky.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So I know that with all these issues and troubles that you went through, even losing your mom, you attempted suicide, and you must have been at a very low point at that time. Tell me a little bit about that. What were you thinking? Because you knew there was a God. So what were you thinking when you were like, I'm just going to take my life? What were you thinking?
Well, for years, from the fallout of my first divorce, my relationship within that church body was very strained. I felt like people were walking around carrying rocks, you know, like silent stonings. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother, through her illness, she had cancer, and she had a 10-year battle with breast cancer, and so I was one of her main caregivers. I was the one that kind of helped her through a lot of that. And so as long as I was caring for my mother was kind of the buffer between that ostracism and me, you know. And when she died, that buffer, that barrier was gone. And I just sensed the coldness, you know, I had to kind of grieve on my own.
Wow.
You know, after that, the following year, that was 2006 when she died, 2007, I had married a man that I had been with for 4 years. He was like that fairy tale, you know, how you have that dream guy that comes along and just does everything right. He got baptized. He started going to my church. And even though we were living together, we were abstinent for like the last 3 months before we married. The whole time it was a deception, because 2 months after I married him, he disappeared. And I found out that, in fact, he had been married the whole time. It was devastating, humiliating. And I was just shamed beyond. I mean, that was kind of the last straw. You know, and so the final thing was, I believe it was around the holidays, that first Christmas, and one night by myself, feeling dark, not knowing what to do, not knowing who to turn to, I swallowed a handful of pain pills because I wanted the pain to go away. That's all I had on hand, and I swallowed these pills, and almost immediately after I swallowed those pills, it was like I was crying out, and all of a sudden I've got this vision of what I would look like 5 to 7 days later, you know, when somebody finally found me, because that was my worst fear, of dying alone and nobody even knowing. And so I got this vision of what I would look like, the horror on everybody's face, knowing that I had, you know, done this, and 5 days later they find me. The other thing that really kind of knocked me into motion, or really just jolted me, was I had a vision of grandchildren being born. Of my grandchildren, and that was years and years before they were born.
Wow.
So I panicked, and I ran next door. I was in a little duplex, and I pounded on my neighbor's door, and I was crying. And I said, I can't do this. I said, I messed up. I said, I don't want to die. So she poured this awful stuff down my throat, and of course, that induced vomiting, and she ended up taking me to the ER. I did not tell them that I had tried to commit suicide or swallowed pills, because by that time, I'd thrown everything up pretty much. And they just gave me something for the nausea and sent me home. I think they just thought I had a virus, because I was so ashamed of what I had done, because I thought, they're going to put me in a mental institution. You know, they're going to think I've just lost it. And it kind of had, you know, that was kind of a very dark time. But it was a turning point to where I felt like I had a future. It's just I was grasping to try to find it.
Wow. Well, I think what's crazy about it all is that you went through that dark time, and yet there was still this lingering feeling of not being enough and not knowing if God was there. But what ended up happening is you ended up having a heart attack, and you also had this horrible car accident. And that finally, after all of that, brought you to a place of surrender where you were like, okay, God, I just want you. But that was all you really needed to do, is surrender to him. Instead of living a life of religion, it became a relationship.
Yes, I think that stems from fear of rejection and fear of exposure, you know, not fully trusting God.
But God came through for you, and that's what's amazing about it.
He did.
So tell me, when you surrendered to him, how quickly things have changed for you now.
Well, I had already made the commitment to him prior to the wreck. I had already taken a vow of abstinence the year before and was giving up on relationships. I was trying to put God first. And when you make that decision, you really come under fire from the enemy. He will do everything to derail. But I felt, you know, I've just got to keep in prayer. I really applied myself. A lot of the mistakes and things that have happened in my life was because of willful sin, because I was not walking with God, and because I wasn't really truly seeking him. I was hiding from him. And so when I started seeking him with all my heart and just praying for his will, and I'm like, I don't know what you have for me, God, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I have to say it out loud. You know, that's the thing when you're finally surrendering and stuff, is you just have to get to that point to where you have to do little things, like saying things out loud to yourself over and over out loud to make those things become your mindset.
So, Becky, I think what's really cool about surrender is, like you said, you called out to God, you surrendered your life, and then it's a daily thing where you're seeking him and you're turning from those ways and you're turning to him. And now your life has completely changed. It went from religion to relationship. And I think there are people listening now that feel like they're in this legalistic thing. They've gone to church, they've worked for God, but they feel like God just hates them. And it's so not true. And we're going to pray that God breaks that off of them and brings true relationship with these people. And we just appreciate your heart and vulnerability as sharing your testimony with us. Thank you so much for being with us, Becky.
Thank you for having me. It was a joy to do this, and God gets the glory because he's doing a great thing in my life, and it's not over yet.
Amen. God bless you.
So, Father God, we just thank you so much for this testimony, Lord. But most of all, something that just really stuck out to me was that God is just not a check mark. He's someone who's waiting for us, who wants a living relationship with us. And we can have that today. We don't have to keep just hiding sin and just kind of hiding stuff from him and then acting like everything's okay. We can actually begin to surrender that to him and really give him the wheel of our life and say, God, I'm going to let you control him. I'm going to let you choose to steer my life into the right direction. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, for someone who's listening, I pray right now, Lord God, we give you our lives. We ask you to steer our lives as we just surrender it all to you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.